Dear Diary, I kind of let loose and shouted at some people today down by the river, and I don't know if it did any good. Some of them seemed to be listening, and then again, some of them weren't really getting the point. They asked me if I was the Messiah, and I had to tell them, no, I'm not. Don't get me wrong, I wondered about that myself at one point, but now I know it's not me. You see, I always knew I was special. I mean, everyone who's the only child of older parents knows that they're special, but this was more than that. The neighbor from next door used to tell me the story over and over again, as elders are likely to do. Ah, Johanan, he would say, I remember the year you were born. Who could forget? Zacharias, that's my dad, got chosen to perform the incense offering in the temple, a once-in-a-lifetime honor, and we went up with him for the special day. Well, he went in, and he didn't come out for the longest time. We wondered if he was okay. Then when he finally came out, he looked kind of stunned, and he couldn't speak at all. He didn't get over it for the longest time, and we all got kind of used to having a wax tablet handy so he could write what he wanted to say. Eventually, it came out that he had been visited by an angel while he was in the temple. And before long, to everyone's surprise, your mother got pregnant with you. And your father didn't get his voice back till the naming ceremony after you were born. Everyone thought you'd be named after him. But your mother Elizabeth said to give you the name you have now, which means the Lord has shown favor. So we checked that with your father, and he wrote on his tablet, she's right, his name is Johanan. And from that moment, he got his voice back. Mom told me the most. Every year on my birthday, she would cook me my favorite breakfast, and as we were sitting there in the kitchen, just the two of us before anyone else was stirring, she'd tell the story. As I got more mature, she told me more details. How one day Dad came home from the temple, unable to speak, but for some reason with a spark of something youthful in his eye. Was he flirting with her? And how, after the ritual bath that followed her monthly cycle, when he was allowed to touch her again, that simple touch on the hand ignited a long-dormant spark. And her surprise when the next monthly cycle didn't come, but instead of having hot flashes, she was having morning sickness. Dad didn't talk about it much. He never talked about the angel, and I didn't have the nerve to ask. One time he did tell me how he had worried about whether he would ever be able to speak again, but how he had learned to be quiet, to listen and observe. How humbling it was not to be able to explain or direct or hold forth, and how humbling it was to realize how, even though he was a priest, the woman next to him was so much wiser, so much more accepting of the crazy way God chose to work. He told me how he didn't really get it, didn't really understand what was going on, until the day pregnant cousin Miriam came to visit, and Mom nearly fainted from my sudden kicking and squirming in her womb. And suddenly, quiet, shy Mom and her humble little cousin were speaking glorious poetry, words so powerful that they stuck in everyone's head, eyes shining and tears running down both of their faces. Eventually, it got to be a bit much for me, all these stories rattling around in my head, like echoes of the stories from the history of our people and the words of the prophets. And one day, I just took off and headed for the hills. Pretty soon, my food ran out, and I had to learn to eat whatever I could find, whether it was honey or grasshoppers. And at some point, my clothes got so threadbare that they simply fell apart, and I just made something to wear out of what was available. Out there, though, I could get some perspective. Yeah, maybe I was special, but not that special. Just like everyone else, God had a job for me to do, and I should find out what it was. Not only did that time give me clarity about myself, it also gave me some perspective on society. I started to think about what's really important and about all the things people think are important that just really aren't. Eventually, out there under the stars, I started to feel like I was part of something bigger. And I realized that what God wanted me to do was to go back and share some of that clarity with the poor souls who were so mired in their self-centered lives. I know I don't see the whole picture yet, but I have to trust that if I do my part, the rest will come to be when the time is right. So that's how I ended up on the riverbank today, like every day, trying to figure out how to explain to these people that they're living life too small. And today it seemed to bother me more than other days. The crowd was so big and they seemed so confused and fearful. They just struck me like a big nest of baby snakes. Can't you see? It's not about your family tree. It's about whether your tree is bearing fruit. It's not about how religious you are or how many generations your family has been going to the temple. It's about how you act and what's going on inside your heart. Because believe me, God can see right in there. Some of them at least wanted to know more. They asked about what they should do. What did I tell them? Whoever you are, whatever your job or status, it comes down to the same thing. Get out of your selfish mindset. Be generous. Be honest. Be kind and compassionate. Remember that you are part of a bigger picture that you can't see yet. The time is coming when it will become more clear. The time is coming when you'll need to shed what's unnecessary, whatever is standing in your way, like the inedible husk around a grain of wheat. And allow that chaff to be burned away in the fire of the Spirit. None of us will escape that moment when we can no longer hold on to these things. Our petty self-importance, our fear, our excess material possessions. It will be much easier for us if we start right away today recognizing our true deep self and living like who God created us to be. Well, they came and they listened, and it seems like some of them got it. A lot of them sealed their renewed intentions by being baptized. But will they really go home and live differently? I will probably never know the answer to that. I just have to have faith and keep looking forward. Amen.